Your organic search is over. Here's Naturally Savvy with health experts Andrea Donsky and Lisa Davis.
Hi, everybody. My co-host Lisa Davis is off today, so I'll be hosting solo. My next guest is a wife and mother, as well as a Zen Buddhist priest at the Hazy Moon Zen Center in Los Angeles. Karen Mazen Miller writes about spirituality in everyday life. Her latest book is called Paradise in Plain Sight, Lessons from a Zen Garden. Welcome to the show, Karen.
Oh, thank you, Andrea. Thank you for having me.
Tell me a little bit about what inspired you to write this book.
Well, that's a good question. I happen to live in California's oldest private Japanese garden. It's a 100-year-old garden, which is the backyard behind my house. As you mentioned, I have written several books about how spirituality is perceived in my own life, my everyday life, you know, as a mother and as a homemaker. And I had just neglected to notice that the garden that I care for also has lots to teach me. So someone kindly pointed that out to me, and I simply took a look and a long listen at what our gardens teach us.
And what are some lessons that you've learned from the garden?
Well, the truth is that the natural world that we live in is the natural expression of wisdom and truth that we often seek elsewhere. So when you open your eyes and see how life appears in its natural form, you really learn everything. You learn about time and patience and love and sorrow and loss and stillness and change. You know, really, you learn everything. Most of the time, we live as if we were disconnected, isolated, removed from the natural world. Even if we're just on the other side of a window, we see it as being outside of us, but it's not. And so I think many gardeners can draw this conclusion that in actually engaging physically in the act of caring for a garden, they transform their lives. Now, practically speaking, not all of us do that. And we might even have ideas about what constitutes a garden and what doesn't constitute a garden, and tell ourselves that we don't live in a place that's quite pretty or perfect enough. But my point is to see exactly where you are and to work with things as they are, and that itself transforms your experience of your life.
Can you tell me or share a little bit about what it means to be a Zen Buddhist priest?
Yeah, Zen is a very, very old tradition. It originated in India, traveled through China, about 2,500 years old, dated from the time of Buddha, and it's the practice of seated meditation. It's simply the practice of seated meditation. And through that practice, you begin to experience your life in a different way. So to be a priest is to have articulated your own personal commitment to living the rest of your life, and in fact, living forever in that different way, which is to really go beyond a limited view of yourself and live selflessly in service.
And how long have you been a Zen Buddhist priest? I'm not sure if you mentioned that.
I would have to do the math, but I think it's about 12 years. I've been practicing Zen for about 20 years. So as a priest, I've simply committed publicly to honoring the precepts and to sustaining my practice and serving the world that I inhabit. And that's really what connects us, or that connects me. Change the way I relate to the physical world, both here where I live and my home and my garden, but the world at large, In other words, to no longer feel as though it is external or opposed to you, rather to see it as your world and your universe and your job, your responsibility to keep peace.
What would you say to people who are, you know, young parents who are, you know, have young children, or parents who have young children running around? There's a lot of noise pollution going on in their homes and around them. And what would you recommend to them who may not have the ability to, you know, bring meditation into their daily lives? What some advice that you could bring in order to help them kind of tone it down a bit, I guess, kind
well,
of to bring some of that meditation?
To think that the practice of meditation is different than your daily life. The practice of meditation, we sit down on a cushion and meditate in order to develop the habit of being able to allow things to be as they are and not be internally distracted. It's a misconception to think that the external world needs correcting or fixing. The disturbances are all internal as we reject and criticize, as we judge what's occurring. So children run around and make noise because they're children, you see. Notwithstanding that, oftentimes we tell ourselves that we don't have the time and we don't have the place, and yet that's not necessarily true. We do have time before we get out of bed. We do have time before we fall asleep. We do have, still have time and place. We have to make the time and place in order to center and steady ourselves, or else we know, particularly, I mean, I'm a mother. I know that if I don't do that, that I can really, really easily hurt someone. So I practice both here at home for as much time as I can allow myself, and I practice with a group. But the most important thing is to realize where distraction and disturbance occurs. It's in our reaction to our world, in our rejection of things that we don't like or that we don't want. And that way, when we see that, we have tremendous power to change how we react to our environment, how we respond to circumstance. We practice in order... You hear so much talk about living in the present moment, but typically what people mean when they say that is they mean a moment other than this one, a moment that's perfect, a moment that's peaceful, and not recognizing that you yourself in your mental maneuverings have tremendous power over what you give, what you transmit, what you share. I know I do. So, I mean, that's on one side. On the other side, we have to be honest with ourselves. We have to be honest with ourselves where we're spending our time, what our habits of mind are, what our addictions are. And believe me, electronic stimulation is an addiction. Mm-hmm. And we might, you know, be very, very convinced that we don't want our children to fall prey to that, you know, kind of power, and yet we ourselves may not have been able to muster the discipline to remove ourselves from that. So we just have to be honest.
I love that you said that. And, you know, I wish we had more time, and I'm looking at my time and going, oh, we're out of time already. What? I have so many questions.
That's okay.
I'm just
going
to have to come back on.
It will take all
exactly.
the time that we have. Yeah.
Well, you're just going to have to come back on our show again. So, well, thank you, Karen. It was a pleasure having you on our show. And if you want to learn more about Karen, you can go to KarenMazinMiller.com, and you could follow her on Twitter at KMazinMiller. Thank you so much for being on our show, Karen.
Yeah.
I'm Andrea Donsky. This is Naturally Savvy Radio on Radio MD. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Your Radio MD and at Naturally Savvy. Thanks for listening, everyone. Have a terrific day and stay well.